Stephen. Good evening to our Asian listeners. This is Daniel Eschelin. I'm hosting today's Power Hour program. I'll be on for 2 hours. We have a great list of guests. We have Michael Billington, Asia Desk Editor for Executive Intelligence Review. And at the bottom of the second hour, we have Lowell Ponte. Just looking at some of the headlines out there. For example, if you weren't worried before, worry now. It's the Mexican standoff. Business groups plan to sue Donald Trump for Mexican tariffs. Baby bust. Millennials' birth rates plunge to 3-decade low. Pat Buchanan blasts Mueller. Republicans should not let him skate on this. Trade war is the enemy of growth. Italy folds. Bond yields tumble as government promises European Union to cut welfare costs. United Nations torture expert Assange showing symptoms of intense psychological trauma. The cycle's most dangerous bubble in 3 charts, not pretty charts. Deflation. Now, the article is talking about Beijing has reportedly developed a plan for rare earth export ban. Risks for the second half of 2019 are mounting by the day, part one. Tesla is in trouble. Debt-laden Americans flee country to escape crushing student loans. Russian jets unleash hell on Idlib after ceasefire talks with Turkey collapse. Five Star in Italy capitulates, will back Salvini's tax cut plan as Rome denies parallel currency. This is just the first page. Beijing threatens to blacklist unreliable U.S. companies, loses faith in trade deal. Global markets routed after Trump tariff bombshell, bond yields crater to record low. Stunned Wall Street response to Trump's shock tariff announcements. Zuckerberg's security chief accused of sexual harassment, making racist remarks about Zuck's wife. Not winning. Collapse in global trade escalates. Imports, minus 2.7%. Exports, minus 4%. I think it's a fairly safe bet. We are not in a good place right now. Last week, I started about China, wanting to explain to people exactly the meaning of China, how it works, and that, in fact, it has very little to do how people in the West understand it. So I want to just finish that today because I think it's important. Most people in the United States and also the rest of the world, obviously, understand China from what they read about China in American newspapers, watch on CNN or Fox, and listen to radio broadcasts. Most people who actually talk about China don't know anything about it because they get their information from Wall Street Journal and The Economist and The Financial Times and The New York Times and Washington Post and some local periodicals that get their stuff from somebody who speaks English. But China's a different culture. It's a different country. It's different history. Everything about China is different. The rest of the world, allegedly we come from monkeys, well, white monkeys. That's what Charles Darwin said. Actually, it wasn't Charles Darwin. It was Engels who said it first. But the Chinese, they're not from here. They believe that their culture comes from outer space. So the rest of us are from here, from, you know, these white monkeys, but they're not. And also to us, the Westerners' history, it's a linear progress. And that's what it has been, you know, as a result of Gregorian calendar back in 1582. But the Chinese history is not linear progression, okay, but a sum of waves of different periods of time. Chinese calendar, for example, doesn't understand the concept of linear past, present, and future because it's cyclical. One circular rotation of Chinese calendar is 60 years. It's called a cycle. 3 generations, each generation 20 years, is called an era. If you take 20 cycles, 60 eras, and 180 generations, that's 3,600 years. That's an epoch. And an epoch is the largest measure of calendar time in China. For the Chinese, the point of departure is 2,697 BC, before Christ, the reign of the Emperor Huangwu. The actual cycle started back in 1864 and goes to the year 2044. That's a 180-year period. Okay, so a cycle of 60 years, three cycles is 180 years. And it's interesting because the year 2044 for the Chinese, the change of the year, and for the transhumanists, it's 2045 as the change and the new rebirth of society. Now, another thing that you read about in the newspapers about the Chinese, that the Chinese president has now become the dictator and there are no elections and it's not a democracy. China is not a democracy. China is Eastern despotism. I don't understand. I never understood why Westerners or the West in general, be it the United States or Western Europe, try and impose your values other parts of the world. Who said that democracy is the best way of doing things? And I know people are sitting there listening to the show and saying, this guy's Russian. He's, you know, he's a Stalinist. He's a Leninist. He's a communist. Different part of the world have different systems. And the Chinese, they're not a democracy. They've never been a democracy. And they've been around for 5,000 years. Now, Chinese president, having received power as the legitimate heir of the descendants of the emperor's past, and in order to legitimize his power, needs what the Chinese call the mandate from heaven. Now, the mandate of heaven is the acceptance of the current president Xi Jinping's responsibilities for the functions on earth of the order of cosmic processes within the cycles of change of cosmic energy. This is how the Chinese understand time. Now, according to the laws of change, something that people in the West don't understand because it has nothing to do with Western geopolitics, which is two. Okay, white and black, good and bad, et cetera, et cetera. It's the separation. Now, according to the laws of change, only the East can conquer the center. Center is China. Why is China the center? Because they've been there for 5,000 years. They are the epicenter of the entire globe, and everything else are tributaries. Now, who is the East? The East is Russia. How could Russia be the East? If you look at the map, Russia is west of China, not east. What happens is because the Chinese are not of the planet Earth, but of the heavens. They are not standing with their feet on the planet Earth. They're standing with their feet on the heavens. And so when you're up looking down, everything is inversed. And Russia suddenly, it's like when you look at yourself in the mirror. And Russia is no longer the West, but the East. The mandate of the heavens is a sacred ceremony. And Xi Jinping needs Russia to receive this mandate to legitimize his power. For example, back in 1950, Mao Zedong received the mandate of the heavens from Stalin in a secret ceremony inside Lenin's mausoleum, which, by the way, is a pyramidal structure with special energy. Now, what is mandate of the heavens? Heavens is a period of time within the circular union of sunrise and sunset, the phases of the moon, low and high tides, etc. The symbol for the heavens is a circle. Now, a circle doesn't have a beginning or the end. Cosmic energy is the mandate of the heavens, which the Chinese calculate with great precision. And the mandate of the heavens is achieved via symbols and signs, not human Aristotelian or Socratic or Platonic logic. In fact, if you kind of look how people refer in the West to China, they talk about Chinese communism and Chinese socialism, and I really don't know where they get these names from. Because Chinese don't have letters, they have hieroglyphs. And hieroglyphs are not sounds. They're visual representations. So what is Chinese socialism? If you look at the Tiananmen Plaza, there's those 8 hieroglyphs written and emblazoned on the plaza. Now, if you translate it into the language that people in the West understand, it doesn't say Chinese socialism, because socialism and communism, when hieroglyphs were invented, before communism and socialism was invented, obviously they weren't talking about communism and socialism. So what does it say? It says, translating from the hieroglyphs into the Western language, it is socialism with Chinese specificity. What does that mean? It means the union of the clans around the throne of the ancestors separated by colors. And that's what Chinese national socialism is all about. Because that's what China is, national socialism. Now, what are the colors? The main colors are red, communists, Maoists, blue, liberals, internationalists, and yellow, which are the nationalists. So when you add these three colors, red, blue, and yellow, you get brown. And brown is the color of national socialism. It has absolutely nothing to do at all with communism or anything else. It's a different system put together by people who have absolutely different way of understanding things. Now, when you're talking about the mandate of the heavens, okay, you're talking about changes within the Chinese society. Now, there are 3 periods. Okay, one period is chaos, another period is small renaissance, and the third period is great union, which the Chinese call Datun, D-A-T-U-N. And the only time in the history of China that have actually been able to reach this great union of the nation was in the 7th century with the Emperor Taizun in the Tang Dynasty. Now, to the Chinese, time has 3 elements. The length of the process, called chronos, order of the things, cyclos, like cycles, and also the favorable moments, which called kairos. The will of the heavens, as the Chinese call it, has 3 elements: amplitude, frequency, and wavelength. So, according to the Chinese, whether it's in the West, history is measured as linear progress. To the Chinese, history is the sum of the different wavelengths. It's not linear. The civilizatory codes, they're not words. There are symbols that need to be interpreted. For example, if we're talking again about history in China as the sum of different wavelengths, one wavelength of time for the Chinese is 726 years. So let me give you an example how the Chinese understand, because again, they have the codes to calculate things that have happened before and will happen again, because it's cyclical, it's not linear. For example, Genghis Khan, the founder of Yuan Dynasty, he died in 1224. Joseph Stalin, the Soviet dictator, died in 1953. That 729-year period, when you're talking about the 726 period as the wavelength of time for the Chinese, there's always give or take 3 years. Okay. Hu Bilai, that's Genghis Khan's grandson and the founder of the Yuan Dynasty, began his campaign to conquer south of China in 1253. Deng Xiaoping, the architect of Chinese miracle, began his policy in 1979 by signing a secret Sino-American agreement, which expired in January 2019. 1979 minus 726. We'll get 1253. Hu Bilai, again, Genghis Khan's grandson, became the Great Khan in 1294. If you add 1294 and 726, you get 2020. And so to the Chinese, 2020 is the year of the Great Datun, this great union. Chinese miracle that Emperor Xi Jinping has mentioned when he spoke of the Chinese dream becoming a reality, he said it back in Moscow in 2013. So talking about democracy, rule of law, Roman law, Socrates, Gregorian calendar, white monkeys, Darwin, has absolutely nothing to do with China or Chinese history, Chinese understanding of the world around them. Let me give you another example. Between the 13th and the 14th centuries, that's 1281 to about 1305, there was a change within Chinggisi. Now, Chinggisi are the originators of the Chinggis Khan, the Mongolian dynasty. So the change was from one prince to another becoming the ruler, from the oldest to the youngest and back to the oldest. If you add 1281 plus 726, you get the year 2007. Russia in 2007, where we changed from Putin to Medvedev, prime minister, and then back to Putin again. I know if you're listening to this for the first time, you're probably saying to yourself, this guy's nuts. He's talking about some crazy numbers and some things he just, you know, found to coincide. That's because you're thinking logically using Gregorian Western calendar, which has absolutely nothing to do with Chinese culture. Again, Xi Jinping is not president. He is the emperor. He's not a dictator. He's the emperor. This is the fifth generation. We went from Mao Zedong, who finished his reign in 1976, to Deng Xiaoping, who finished his reign in 1993, to Jiang Zemin, who finished his in 2003, to Hu Jintao, who finished his in 2013, and now we have Xi Jinping. So when Xi Jinping publicly mentioned the Chinese dream as an ideal that substitutes the ideas of Mao Zedong, that is a signal that the moment of renovation has come. And now it's the Chinese dragon's turn. And Xi Jinping is the representative of the dragons. And the dragons are the military clans who fought the British in the First and Second Opium Wars back in the middle of the 19th century. In other words, Heavenly Emperor in Chinese lore is not the creator, but a hierarchical head of the order. So in the sky you have, again, according to the Chinese lore, a polar star, and on Earth, covered by the endless universe, exists an emperor of the Middle Kingdom, which is what China is, the epicenter of the world, called the Middle Kingdom. Now, the Middle Kingdom, again, is the epicenter of the world, and everything else are tributaries. So Xi Jinping is that emperor who has a job to do, Great Union, Datung, in Chinese. In the West, you think of a democracy which, again, has nothing to do with China. We know Datung exists. It was first mentioned by the Taoist monks 3,000 years ago, referring to the first son of the heavens emperor called Wen Dezhao. And we were talking about letters and hieroglyphs. Hieroglyphs, again, they're not letters. They're consciousness codes. Letters are sounds. So for the Chinese, the epicenter of the universe is the polar star. It has a color. That color is violet. So if you look, a lot of the times when Xi Jinping is meeting with Putin or speaking at certain conferences, colors, numbers, shapes, messages, these are the things one has to pay attention to when interpreting, because again, you interpret hieroglyphs. These are not sounds. Okay? So again, for the Chinese, the epicenter is the polar star. It has a color violet. And it is a place where the heavenly emperor by the name of Shao Di lives. If you look at the religious codes, for example, Christianism has a father creator. For the Chinese, the Father Creator doesn't have an image. It has a name, and it's called the Great Tao. Now, Tao creates number one, and number one represents a unit, something whole. From one, you have a two because one separates or splits into two. And from two, you get a three, which is a trinity, which is at the center of Chinese belief system. It is never a dialectic of two, but three forces. It's not you and your enemy. It's not the Bible. China has nothing to do with the Bible. The Bible doesn't even mention China, although China exists, and we know they did 500 years before Christ because they were selling silk in Africa. So again, China is an odd number. It's not an even two where the whites and blacks play each other, as Zbigniew Brzezinski said in his great chessboard, which is, again, it's a cover story. It's not true. For the Chinese, these are three forces: you, your enemy, and your ally. Not you and your enemy. And if you look at the way the Chinese understand, again, today's world and the relationship with the United States, it's not, again, America and China are not in a shooting war, and they will never be in a shooting war, because back in 1979, Jimmy Carter and Deng Xiaoping reached a secret 40-year agreement. It was 20 years and then extended for another 20 years by Bill Clinton in 1998, and it expired in January 2019. And what you're seeing right now is Donald Trump and Emperor Xi Jinping working out a new secret agreement of non-intervention, non-physical military war. Trade war is another story. And we know that this happened because in January 1979, when the deal was signed between the Chinese and the Americans asked for a show and demonstration of loyalty. And Chinese, in the middle of February 1979, started a shooting war with Vietnam. So that deal was signed in blood. And today the Chinese, who are much stronger in a position than they were back then, are asking for the Americans to show their loyalty to this new agreement. And that's why what we have are 20,000 terrorists who are fighting in Syria, a war which Russia didn't win, because when you win a war, there's a conclusion, there's a deal signed where somebody gives up and somebody wins. But in this deal, what we have are 20,000 terrorists were transferred by the United States from Syria to Afghanistan. And this has a lot to do with the control of Central Asia, an important part of the Belt and Road Initiative for the Chinese. So again, things are not as simple as they appear to be in the mainstream publications. It's a very different story. Well, I know we're going to be going for break in about a minute, but I did want to start talking about Huawei, because it's an important element in this trade war. Because again, one of the things when we were talking about a trade war between the Americans and the Chinese, it has to do with infrastructure. And when talking about infrastructure, you're talking about two very large corporations, Amazon versus Alibaba. And because Europe doesn't have anything remotely similar, they're out of the game. And the Chinese and the Americans is that. Also, something else I wanted to bring up before I forget. I'm sure you guys remember that way back when Xi Jinping was meeting, and we're going to the break, well, we'll talk about it next time. Back in a couple of minutes with my first guest, Mike Billiton.
Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. I thought I would discuss an item that's very valuable to my personal health and well-being. That product is called Curcumin X4000. Its potent antioxidant properties have been shown to decrease swelling and allow us to enjoy our golden years. Take control over your health today, guys. Order Curcumin by calling 877-817-9829 or order at the Power Mall. theparamall.com. That's theparamall.com.
Oxygen. It's nature's oldest therapy and plays an essential role in destroying viruses, bacteria, mold, yeast, and fungus, and keeping the human body healthy and strong. Now, you can give your body and your immune system a mega boost of disease-fighting oxygen with all-natural Oxy-C. With so many people now leading a sedentary indoor lifestyle, most are in a chronic state of oxygen deprivation, which sets up a perfect environment for disease, general fatigue, and a host of other symptoms. Oxy-C is yours in simple, convenient capsules. Nothing to mix, nothing to hassle with. Take it with juice or water anytime. Feel a cold or flu approaching? Have no energy or spark anymore? Try all-natural Oxy-C and prepare to be amazed. Oxy-C is only available from New Earth Health Solutions at Rinse.com. Look for the New Earth banner at Rinse.com.
Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like the green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2's skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
If you've been listening to this program for any length of time, you'll know that Fukushima, the greatest calamity in history, as now, as I've been warning since 3/11, killed off virtually the whole North Pacific Ocean and especially up and down the entire West Coast. The radiation is migrating inland and is moving across the entire country. There's only one proven defender to radiation exposure, the brilliant Chernobyl-proven discovery of Dr. Michael Kiriak, which combines the four most potent and powerful algaes on the planet, imported to the U.S. and known as Bio's Superfood. I've taken Bio's Superfood every day for several years now and want you to do the same for your sake and the health and safety of your family and loved ones. Take the banner at the top of Rinse.com and prepare to learn how to save your life.
Hi, this is Catherine at the Power Hour. The Paramol began when Joyce Riley discovered an all-natural soap that heals skin issues and can replace your bathing, laundry, and household cleaning products. That soap is Miracle 2 and is made from natural minerals and coconut extract with no added fragrances or colors and is naturally concentrated and biodegradable. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. To order, call 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com today. You'll learn why so many people say, it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
With dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Humana Food Storage is nutritious, is GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy. And Humana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. Call Jay at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at thepowermall.com.
America made just for you. Food stores are left to eat. Yum!
My next guest is Mike Billington of the Executive Intelligence Review. Now, I usually don't read people's resumes on the air, but I'm going to make an exception. Mike is an extraordinary being. I've met him before. We talked to him before. He was part of my Bilderberg documentary. It's an honor for me to have him on the show. Now, he's been around with the LaRouche organization for 47, almost 50 years. He focused in the past, in the 1970s, on exposing the expanding influence of Dole Inc., the Anglo-American banking networks, laundering drug money and promoting drug legalization in the United States, and also countering the equally expanding influence of the anti-science movement known today as environmentalism, while promoting nuclear and fusion power development as the centerpiece of a program for global development. A leading political organizer in the 1980s, Mike Billington assumed the responsibility as the Asia political correspondent and analyst for the Executive Intelligence Review, and also his work focused on comparative studies of Chinese and Western Renaissance thought, historical and political intelligence studies of the nations of Southeast Asia, and several in-depth studies on the conflicts between American and British policies in Asia during and after World War II. Mike, it's wonderful to have you on the show. Thank you so much for joining us.
I'm very glad to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
Mike, Schiller's Institute President Helga Zaplarush, Lynn's wife, she issued a clarion call a few days back for LaRouche's movement in the United States to take the lead in mobilizing a force sufficiently powerful to crush the Anglophile American establishment's drive to provoke a confrontation between the United States and China. Now, to most people, this may seem strange that there's an Anglophile American establishment in the United States. So can you tell us more about this, please?
Well, you have to look at this hysteria over China in light of the Russiagate hoax. The reason you saw this incredible scam run by the Obama administration's intelligence leaders in direct cooperation, actually being directed by British intelligence to try to bring down President Trump, with this lying campaign about Russian collusion with Trump, and the equally false lie that the Russians somehow interfered with the election in 2016. The British establishment has, since the time of Roosevelt's his death, his too early death, and then subsequently the assassination of Jack Kennedy, who was trying to restore the American system policies under Roosevelt. Since that time, the U.S. has increasingly been dominated by the Anglo-Dutch liberal system. Doesn't mean the British government somehow controls America. It's the imperial establishment within the UK and Holland, historically the Anglo-Dutch Empire, who have imposed their policies of deindustrialization, of trying to undermine the American system commitment to progress, commitment to the idea of honoring the dignity of every single human being. And we fought the British on this, both in our revolution and in the Civil War. It was the British who sustained the slave economy in the United States, which wasn't defeated until we had the Civil War. But in fact, that the British have been our historic enemy and continue today to try to impose their system, which underlies, as you mentioned in reading what I've been working on in my life, which includes the complete control of the biggest business in the world, drugs, which has been their business since their opium wars in China, the continuation of that through the London and Wall Street banking institutions, who have been caught over and over and over again laundering billions of dollars of drug money and simply get a slap on the hand and go on with their business. It's the same thing, as you mentioned, with the environmentalist movement, which is really nothing but the pre-World War II eugenics movement, the race science movement that declared the white Anglo-Saxon race to be a superior race, and that therefore we had to limit the population growth and the development of non-white African Asian peoples. They simply continued that process after World War II when they couldn't use the word eugenics anymore because Hitler had used it and discredited it. But they continued the same policy, simply calling it conservationism, environmentalism, and now this massive hoax about climate change to justify depopulation, to justify their policy of containing progress, keeping the world in a state of backwardness, not just the third world, not just the former colonies, but the advanced sector as well, which we see now across Europe and the United States with this vile New Green Deal mentality, which is literally calling for the destruction of industrial, scientific, human society and the replacement of that with this deindustrialized, backward, genocidal policy. They even acknowledge that the what they call the carrying capacity of the human race is about a half billion people, meaning we have to get rid of about 6 or 7 billion. So this is the ideology of the Anglo-Dutch Empire, which has systematically infected our economy with all the free market, free trade policies where we no longer have a credit system generating investments in technology and science and education. But instead, we have wild, wild speculation, which has already driven us into the collapse of 2008 and what we're facing now. With half again more of these worthless derivative gambling debts sitting on the Western banking system as a threat to the complete breakdown. So this entire Russiagate was a hoax precisely because they were terrified by the fact that President Trump, from the beginning of his campaign, said we should be friends with Russia. We don't want the world divided any longer into East and West. Being friends with Russia is a good thing. And as soon as he got elected, he began the same process with Xi Jinping in China, became a very close compatriot of Xi Jinping, praised the Chinese development. Now, what have we seen? This hysteria against China, which was launched in a major way about 2 years ago, was when they saw that the Russiagate operation wasn't working. And they were completely terrified that President Trump was going to succeed in bringing Russia and China and the United States and India, by the way, these four powers, into a cooperative agreement, which is the minimum force needed to replace this bankrupt Western financial system, which is the core of the Anglo-Dutch British imperial system. It's this financial oligarchy, which is the character of the Republic, which is threatened for the first time since Franklin Roosevelt told Winston Churchill during the war that we were not fighting that war to save the damn British Empire and that we were going to use American system methods to develop the Third World, where the colonies, the European colonialists, had kept it in a state of backwardness. Now, of course, as you know, Daniel, I know you've discussed this on your program often. What is this Belt and Road program in China? It is the Roosevelt idea. What the Chinese are doing is that they looked back to how Roosevelt, in the midst of our depression, built the biggest infrastructure ever seen in the human race up to that point across the United States: water, power, industry, transportation, schools, hospitals, and so forth, in the midst of a depression. And they did it because Roosevelt recognized that the American system puts value on the creative powers of the human beings, not on who can make the most profit in the short term. And to do that, you have to have vast infrastructure, which cannot, it will not be run by private sector industry. It can only be run by a government who recognizes that the long-term profit of a nation, the productivity of its people, is not going to return short-term profits, but it's going to build a nation. And therefore, a government takes that responsibility. Historically, that was known as the American system. And when we did that, we built the arsenal of democracy that made it possible to defeat the Nazis, to defeat the Japanese militarists. China looked at that They were in the midst of a horrible disaster during the Cultural Revolution. I think you know what a nightmare that was. And Deng Xiaoping came out and said, we're going to, he didn't use these words, but I can demonstrate that it's true. We're going to use American system methods to develop the infrastructure in our nation, eliminate poverty, and they did. In 30 short years, the Chinese miracle created one of the greatest economies in history, lifted 700 million people out of poverty, a never before seen feat. And with the Belt and Road, the so-called New Silk Road, as Helga has always called it, with that process, they are taking this method to the rest of the world, to Africa, to South America, to even to Europe, and they're offering to bring it to the United States as a means of global cooperation to end the era of imperial zero-sum game geopolitics and empire once and for all. And that's why Helga is fighting for that idea now.
More than anything else, Trump represents the untapped potential of the American system of economy, of technological progress, infrastructure. Remember, in his first speech when he became president, he talked about the infrastructure and development that will improve the lives of everyone per square mile of space against nature. And, you know, throughout the 226 years since the United States constitutional system was ratified, the American people and their government have amazed the world with periods of some of the most unprecedented scientific and technological growth the world has ever seen. What are some of these technological advancements of America in the past 200 plus years?
Well, I mean, almost all modern scientific and technological advances in these last 200 years came out of the United States in collaboration with other European and, in fact, Russian science and technology capacities. The development of nuclear power, the early research into fusion power, the research into maglev transportation networks, the development of the internet, all of these things came out of the United States. Now, you sit back here for a minute and you look at what's happened to the United States, especially after 16 years of George Bush and Barack Obama. And we are no longer the leaders in IT. That's why you see this disgusting attack on Huawei, which has nothing to do with spying. Everybody knows what the NSA does. Snowden revealed it. It has everything to do with the fact that the neocon crowd, the Wall Street crowd, who failed in their effort to bring down Trump over Russia, are now terrified that Trump will work with China in a situation where the Chinese are now the leaders in basic IT. The Huawei is the greatest technological company in the world, and it's now being torn apart by this disgusting attack, not only against Huawei, but against any other country that works with it. You look at maglev. The maglev system was developed in Germany, but there's never been a maglev built in Europe or the United States. The Chinese have built maglev all over the country, and they have high-speed rail close to 30,000 kilometers, where we in the United States have zero. What they call high-speed rail, the Acela, is a joke compared to the 300-kilometer-per-hour rate of the high-speed rail. And I've ridden on the beautiful trains. They've now done a test of a train that could go 600 kilometers per mile, a maglev train, which would be faster than the average airplane speed, which means you could eliminate short-term air flights altogether and replace it with much safer, more comfortable, and so forth, train transportation. That's a whole discussion. You look at the space program. You know, we watched our space program torn apart under Bush and Obama. Torn apart. We no longer have had a human space program. Now, Trump has said we're going to go to the moon in 5 years. This is the first inspirational thing that's been said to the American youth since John F. Kennedy. the first time there's been something said that, look, we have a reason to look forward to a better future, a science and technology future in which everybody has a chance to participate in advancing human knowledge and human progress. But is it going to happen? I don't know. Is it going to happen? The problem here is the U.S. has allowed its science and technology to become stalled and in some case degenerated. You have this entire anti-science movement, the new Green New Deal and so forth, which is trying to destroy all kinds of progress in our country and around the world. And you have a president who has committed himself to these ideas, but who has not been able to implement them, partly because he has nobody around him who supports his ideas. Half of his cabinet is running around screaming and yelling against Russia and China at the same time that Trump is saying we have to be friends with Russia and China, the most ironic thing we've ever seen in this country. The LaRouche tradition on this, LaRouche's role in fostering all of these ideas for the last 50 years, the fight to bring man into space again, the fight against the drug cartels run by the British and American banking system, the fight for fusion and nuclear power development, the fight for an educational system based on classical culture to restore classical music and classical art to the curricula of our nation, to teaching our children music instead of this ugly noise that's peddled today as entertainment and the vile, pornographic and violent-prone so-called movies of today, to return to a classical culture, which is a necessary ingredient. This is how LaRouche's discoveries over these last 50 years created the ferment of these ideas around the world, all over the world. As you've probably seen, Daniel, in these wonderful statements that have come in with his death in February, eulogies from Russia, from China, from South America, all over South America, from Asia, people say that this brilliant man's ideas have inspired a movement, an international movement that cannot die and which has to be the basis upon which we bring America back to its senses, bring America and Russia and China and the Indians together in what LaRouche called the four powers as the necessary force that can bring about a new Bretton Woods, a new global financial system that's based on credit, not on money, in the Hamiltonian sense of that idea. This is one of those moments in history where everything America has done positively, historically, is being torn apart, and yet we finally at least have a president who's committed to all of those ideas and who can't implement them unless we, as an institution, and we as an American people and a world citizenry, bring about this fight to restore the idea of America as a temple of liberty for the world, not just for ourselves, not an imperial power, as you hear from people like Pence and Bolton and Pompeo, not an imperial power that runs around telling countries they must not have any dealing with Russia and China or else. This is not America. This was typical of the Bush and Obama years. This is not what Trump is committed to, but he's unable to do it unless we create in the population of the Western world and the world the idea that there is a new paradigm already existing through the new Silk Road, through this Belt and Road idea, which America can and must join and work together with nations throughout the world on a policy of win-win based on the idea that there is a common aim for mankind. Not the bestial, animal-like thinking of the British Empire that believes that some people are meant to rule and some people are meant to serve. We have to end this imperial mentality once and for all.
You kind of look back, not only the last 2 years of Trump's administration, but even his election campaign. And you guys talked about this. LaRouche talked about this. Helga talked about this. Trump committed his cardinal sin when he said he was open to negotiations with Putin, as you said, and compared Putin's strong leadership of Russia unfavorably to Obama's weaknesses. Then Trump compounded that by defending the sovereign nation state system against the globalist vision of world government, as you said. Then he linked the economic collapse to the collapse of culture. Then he declared a war on drugs and on the role of the money laundering Wall Street banks. He also endorsed Glass-Steagall banking separation. LaRouche has been talking about this forever, which would bring the elite casino economy to a halt. Trump spoke about advancing science, exploring space, and conquering disease. And then I remember on the 20th of March and the 21st of March, 2017, Trump committed, and again, you guys talked about this, the gravest offense of all, directly embracing the American system of political economy, the economic science which actually built the United States and which the elite thought they had completely replaced by their free trade and a globalist new world order. So again, these are two diametrically opposed, irreconcilable approaches, which today, are before mankind. The one promotes geopolitics, confrontation and unilateralism in defense of the dying world order of the British Empire, and the other calls for a dialogue among nations based on the high points of their respective civilizations. So if you look at the two different paradigms, again, the collapsing Anglo-Dutch liberal system and the new Bretton Woods Hamiltonian credit system, very briefly, because we're about 3 minutes, what are the differences between these two systems to help people understand what they have to hold and stand for?
Well, at the bottom, at the base of all of this is what is your idea of man? What's your conception of what makes a person a human being as opposed to an animal? You know, the British ideology, the Darwinian view that man is just some sort of an animal fighting for his existence against others, one against all, this existentialist mentality that we're really just animals fighting for ourselves. This, it rejects the idea. The idea of geopolitics is based on this fake Darwinian ideology of man as an animal. And they treat nations with the same sense. Nations are just basically animalistic instincts that have to fight the other in order to get ahead. This idea of man is fake. It's not real. It's one that's used by an oligarchy to keep people enslaved. And what you have throughout Western culture, and as you mentioned, I did a lot of study on the tradition of the Confucian Confucian philosophy in China and Asia and the Western Renaissance. You had every period of great development, every boom of a Renaissance in the West or in China or in the Islamic world with the Baghdad Caliphate. You had a period in which people recognized that every single human being is defined as human by his creative power, which makes him in the image of God, the imago viva Dei. That's what makes us human. It's what distinguishes us from the beasts. And when you treat people as if they're animals and you try to get people to believe they are, then who's going to resist when you try to cull the herd and bring about mass genocide through colonial wars, through a potential nuclear war, which we're looking at today? We can and we must restore the idea of the American system, which has its roots in the Great Renaissance in Europe. In that sense, the American system was the culmination of the great developments in Europe against the imperial policies that had actually brought Europe down and led the founding fathers and their forebears to come to America and then to fight for this American system against this British free market, free trade, libertarian concept of man. We can and we must restore the dignity of man, the ascetic education of man, as Schiller taught, which is why we call ourselves the Schiller Institute, which Helga brought to us. This is the concept which Americans and Canadians and Mexicans and Chinese, every single nation on earth has to recognize that it's grappling with this fundamental distinction between man as an animal and man as a creative being, which is at the root of whether or not we're going to survive this crisis and instead bring about a true renaissance of all nations and all great cultures.
I want to read a quote before we go to break from Schiller Institute's founder and president, Helga Seppler-Rusch, in her presentation to the 2019 conference on the dialogue of Asian civilizations held in Beijing on May 15th. She said, "It is the characteristic of turning points in history that the majority of people have no concept of what is occurring. Only those visionaries who have a clear idea of the positive potential of the future are able to intervene in the process at moments of decision to avert potential catastrophes and instead usher in a new epoch of humanity. We find ourselves in such a phase today." We'll be back after the break with Mike Billington. Stay tuned.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Dr. Joe Schneller.
The efficacy that we're looking for, that we're going to prove, is that carnivora wakes up this immune system and makes it dominant.
I highly recommend that you get started right away using carnivora because it really will help you. Just follow the directions as the company gives them to you. And I just want everybody to know that there's been no one paid to do this. I'm doing this on my own because I care about everybody and want to see healthy people.
My husband has recovered tremendously after the physician suggested that he start taking carnivora. When he was doing so well, I decided to start taking it as well, and we're both so pleased to be able to feel healthy again.
Hello, folks. Richard Ostro of Carnivora Research International here. Visit carnivora.com or call 1-866-VENUS-FLY. That's carnivora.com or 1-866-VENUS-FLY. Call us today.